And good morning, listeners, and welcome to Monday Sports Roundup here on this 24th day of August, almost the end of winter. Let's have a look at the sports headlines across Australia. Courier Mail Brisbane, Daily Telegraph in Sydney and the Herald Sun in Melbourne. All the same, time's up. Seibold to walk away from the Broncos, and all that remains to be sorted is a $1 million payout. I think it might be closer to two by the time his manager Isaac Moses gets into that. The Avantage in Adelaide, time to leave Taylor Tex Walker alone, as an Adelaide veteran in his 200th game had just three disposals in another substandard effort, as even he acknowledges his career is at an end. The Mercury in Hobart, three strikes, you're out, with Tigers Tom Lynch to face the wrath of the AFL's match review officials. Northern Territory News in Darwin, McLaughlin and Van Gisbergen share super sprint poles in Darwin. Canberra Times in the ACT, Raiders and Brumbies put moves in motion to raise Canberra Stadium crowds. And the West Australian in Perth, why A-League final must come to Perth, with Perth Glory owner Tony Sage saying that hosting next Sunday's grand final in Perth is a no-brainer if his side qualifies. Might have to do with the fact that he's got the catering rights at the stadium. A weekly wrap. Let's start with boxing. Interesting. Jeff Horn and Tim Zhu can't agree on much other than that they both want to fight on Wednesday night in Townsville. And after butting heads over the purse, the rematch clause and the rounds, there's only one more disagreement that still hasn't been resolved. Who is going to come out first on to the boxing ring? Horn is a former world champion and is being paid as the A-side in a 64 split, but Zhu is bringing the belts to the table and is therefore the champion on the night. Let's see what happens there on Wednesday night. Whichever way in Townsville, should be a great match. Netball in round 6. Rough play in netball. Well, I'd like to see that, and we certainly did see that last week as the netball world was rocked by the dramatic send-off that completely swung the Sunshine Coast Lightning and Giants game last week. And two huge umpiring calls left the Giants bewildered, with defender Christiana Manu being sent from the court for 2 minutes in the third quarter and then dismissed for the match early in the fourth for repeated instances of rough play. Well, on the weekend, the Swifts defeated the Magpies 60-58. The Firebirds defeated the Fever 68-57. The Vixens defeated the Giants 63-58. And the Lightning 53 defeated Adelaide 45. As the Lightning showed why they continue to be one of the elite of the competition, using their versatility and experience to hold off the Thunderbirds with a dominant 14-7 fourth quarter effort. Goal shooter Kara Konen was a standout performer with 32 goals. The Lightning, they've joined the Melbourne Vixens and the Swifts on 5 wins after 6 rounds. Round 7 starts tomorrow night with the Fever and Magpies, Giants and Firebirds. And on Wednesday night, it's the Swifts and Lightning and the Thunderbirds and Vixens, all games in Brisbane, hopefully. Other Super Netball news, 2 matches between rounds 10 and 14 will now be played in far north Queensland, with Cairns and Townsville to host those. Let's hope that the virus doesn't spread that far. And in NBA, action aplenty with playoffs underway in the best of 7. Eastern Conference, Milwaukee lead Orlando 2-1, Miami 3-0 over Indiana. Boston, they defeated Philadelphia 4-0, and Toronto, they lead Brooklyn 3-0. In the Western Conference, all ahead 2-1 for the LA Lakers over Portland, Houston over Oklahoma, and Utah over Denver. Denver, the LA Clippers 2-2 with Dallas. Plenty of action there with the NBA playoffs. Listeners, a short break. We'll come back with more here on Monday Sports Roundup, talking all about the supercars in Darwin over the weekend. 101.5 FM Sport. Continuing our weekly wrap, listeners, here on Monday Sports Roundup, the supercars. Well, Scott McLaughlin made it 3 wins from 3 starts at the Darwin Super Sprint, proving unstoppable during the supercars' second weekend into the top end. McLaughlin now leads the standings by 177 points over Jamie Wincup, with Shane Van Gisbergen 345 points adrift of the lead in third spot. The drivers now head to Townsville for the Super Sprint on the 29th and 30th of August, followed by the second event on the 5th and 6th of September. That'll be wonderful to see that there as well. MotoGP will, in a dramatic red-flagged Grand Prix of Styria in Austria, Portuguese Miguel Oliveira got the better of Aussie Jack Miller and Pol Espargaró at the famous final corner on the final lap to win his first MotoGP race in the 900th Premier Class contest. It was a stunning victory for Oliveira in his 150th Grand Prix race. A hard-earned 2-week break now awaits before round 7 in Italy. and just check out the video of rider Maverick Vinales, who was forced to make the split-second call to leap from his bike at over 200 kilometres an hour when he realised that, believe it or not, his brakes weren't working. Absolute incredible. The Formula One, they're off to Belgium next week for their round, which starts on the 30th of August. So looking forward to that occurring. In cricket, well, wonderful news for former one-day international captain-turned-commentator Lisa Stathlika. She became the fifth Australian women's player to be installed in the International Cricket Hall of Fame, announced over the weekend. She joined ex-South African all-rounder Jacques Callis and Pakistan run machine Zaheer Abbas as the new inductees. Fantastic reward for 41-year-old Lisa Stathlika. She joins in a list, an elite list of nine women in the Hall of Fame, which includes her former national teammates Belinda Clark, Karen Rolton and Catherine Fitzpatrick, as well as Australian trailblazer Betty Wilson, who was inducted in 2015, 5 years after she passed away. Further cricket news, stumps in day three in the third test between England and Pakistan in Southampton there over in the UK. Pakistan trailing England by 310 runs with 10 wickets in hand. Zach Crawley scored a marvellous 267 in England's first innings total of 8 declared for 583. And James Anderson, the Australian nemesis, took 5 for 56 as Pakistan were bowled all out for 273. Azhar Ali made 141 not out for Pakistan. Well, the Olympic Games, the postponement of the Tokyo Olympics has left buyers of millions of tickets in a quandary. Tokyo organisers and the International Olympic Committee say the Games will open on July 23rd next year and the competition schedule remains virtually unchanged. But they've offered few details and specifics aren't expected until Japan's autumn and into next year as the COVID-19 pandemic evolves. Olympic ticketing is always confusing. A mass of interest, including official ticket resellers, national Olympic committees and sports federations, sponsors and advertisers, and local organisers and the IOC. Invariably, at every Olympics, an event is listed as sold out, although the venue is half-filled because some VIPs or hospitality guests haven't shown up. That'll be interesting to see. And a bombshell investigation has now revealed the heartbreaking spiral that started for Australian Winter Olympics star Ekaterina Katia Alexandrova before she even arrived in Australia as a 16-year-old. The 20-year-old allegedly threw herself out of a sixth-floor balcony window in Moscow on July 17. Fascinating and at times heart-rending story there. Let's hope for Katia that the full story will emerge. Listeners, we'll go to our first break here on Monday Sports Roundup, main break, and we'll come back and we'll talk all things rugby union and let's see what's going to be happening down there at the Snake Pit next Saturday when they celebrate their renewal of their 1990 Premiership. Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports. Listeners, time to talk all things rugby union. And for the Caboolture Snakes, well, I'll take on Caloundra next Saturday in Round 5, Old Boys Day, the 29th of August. They're going to be celebrating the 1990 Premiership 30 years ago. Should be a wonderful afternoon of our rugby. Well, on the weekend, the women, they defeated Maroochydore 29-12 on Saturday with Letitia Stowers, a try and two conversions. The girls, or the women, 6 points clear at the top of the table from Noosa. Go the Maroochydore women's team. In round four of the men's Premier Rugby, it saw wins to Brothers, University of Queensland by two over Sunnybank, East defeated Jeeps, and Norths over Wests. East now alone on top of the ladder on 10 points. In the women's, Wests, University of Queensland, Bond and East, all the winners in round four. In Super Rugby, well, round eight, Super Rugby Australia, the New Zealand one was finished. Queensland Reds fly half James O'Connor became the first Super Rugby player to score 100 points for three different clubs in helping his team thrash a shell-shocked Western Force 57-5 in an 8-try rampage. The Wallaby star brought up the milestone with a first-half penalty to match the feat he achieved during stints with the Force and the Melbourne Rebels. O'Connor dazzled on the Gold Coast, scoring a try, setting up three others with deft passing and booting 17 points as the impressive Reds embarrassed the Perth club. The Brumbies, in the other match, they defeated the Waratahs 38-11 in Canberra to remain on top of the ladder on 23 points, with the Reds second on 21. Next round, we'll see the Force take on the Brumbies. Good luck there, Force. And the Waratahs, they take on the Rebels. The Reds, they have a well-earned bye this weekend. Well, in football news, the Caboolture FC. Well, the men's Premier League and reserves, they both scored 2-1 wins over the Brisbane Knights yesterday. First win of the season, both grades. So well done there. I'm sure Paul Shorter is very happy today. They play North Star next Saturday at home at 6 p.m. In the Women's League, the Caboolture scored a 3-1 win over North Star, while the reserves, they made it a great day for the club, winning 3-0 with Michelle Serda, Jesse Arminelli and Jessica Hewitt all scoring goals. So all in all, great weekend for the Caboolture FC. After our short break, listeners, we'll come back and we'll talk about the A-League elimination semi-finals on the weekend, and we'll have a quick look at the draw which has been released for next season's English Premier League. All that and more, Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports. Listeners, we're talking all things football, and of course, great weekend for the Caboolture FC on the weekend. In the A-League, the elimination semi-finals were overheld on the weekend. On Saturday, Perth Glory, they weathered an all-out assault from third-place Wellington Phoenix to send the side back across the ditch with a 1-0 win, courtesy of a first-half strike by the departing Joel Chianese. Yesterday, Alessandro Diamanti's sensational free kick, and what a fantastic goal that was, earned Western United a 1-0 win against the Brisbane Roar in the competition newcomers' first-ever A-League Finals Series. Mark Rudden's side locked down the match, in the closing 10 minutes, with a handful of players walking wounded ahead of their next encounter in less than 72 hours. It's the end of the road for the Brisbane Roar, came up short in coach Warren Moon's fifth and possibly final match in the Roar dugout. Wednesday night, it's a Melbourne City. They'll take on Western United at 5 p.m, while at 8 o'clock, Perth will take on Sydney at 10 minutes past 8. Both games are at Parramatta. The grand final is on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. In the English Premier League, well, Leeds' first game in the Premier League in 16 years couldn't be tougher, with a trip to Champions Liverpool after the schedule for the new season was released last week. Manchester City and Man United, they'll not be playing on the opening weekend to give them more rest after their involvement in European competitions this month. And talking about European competitions, well, Bayern Munich, they won the European Cup for the sixth time yesterday as Kingsley Coman's goal gave them a 1-0 win over Paris Saint-Germain in an engrossing Champions League final in Lisbon. Just coming back to the English Premier League, well, Liverpool can, therefore, get a head start on two of its biggest rivals and will open its first title defence since 1990 with a match against promoted Leeds on September the 12th, followed by games at Chelsea and against Arsenal at home. Premier League clubs are still waiting to learn when they will be able to play in front of a crowd again, with matches currently held in empty stadiums because of the pandemic. And as we said, what a great win by Bayern Munich, winning the European Cup for the sixth time yesterday, 1-0 win over Paris Saint-Germain. There was a fantastic final in Lisbon, and it completed a fantastic season for the German Giants and leave their opponents still searching for the trophy they covered more than anything. Well, listeners, we'll go to our next break, and I'm sure our master of music, Shane, will have some good songs there for you, because after that, we'll come back and we'll talk all things AFL and a great weekend for the Moreton Bay Lions as well. All that and more, Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM. Before we heard Toto, we were talking all things AFL, and likely that the venue for the 2020 AFL Grand Final will be announced this week, as state governments in New South Wales, Western Australia, South Australia and Queensland have all been lobbying to host the decider, which will be played outside of Victoria for the first time ever. Also likely that the Brownlow medal would follow the grand final interstate. Just thought we'd mention, there were only 17 deaths in Victoria yesterday. No one has mentioned those in these high-level negotiations. Thoughts and sympathies for all families and friends who have lost loved ones. Just wanted to make sure we get our priorities right. In round 13, results saw Carlton defeat the Suns 60-27. The Dogs over the Demons, Port by 10 over Hawthorn. Tigers defeated Essendon. Fremantle demolished the Sydney Swans. Geelong over the Crows. West Coast Eagles made it 8 straight with an 11-point victory over GWS. And the Lions scraped a 2-point win over St Kilda as another batch of missed opportunities almost cost them an important win to still remain equal top with Port. Jared Barry, 20 disposals and 2 goals, was excellent for the Lions. Tonight, the Magpies, they'll take on North Melbourne. The Suns, they take on North Melbourne next weekend. The Lions, they have a bye. Maybe it's a good chance to do some goal shooting practice. In the local AFL, well, another busy weekend at the Lions Den was finalised with some outstanding results going the way of the Moreton Bay Lions, but not so for the young Colts. They lost to Redcliffe 7-4, 46 to 5-4, 34, and Barry Allen says the score flattered the boys' lack of effort. In blustery and strong winds, the reserves, they managed to keep their unbeaten record intact in what was a scrappy and at times a spiteful match against local arch rivals Redcliffe. Final score of 4-7, 33 to 2-3, 15 highlighted just how difficult the strong winds made it for play. Best players for the Lions were Jackson Hill and Jared Ricker, while Jared Hill kicked two goals for the home team. The win cements a place in the top four for the reserve grade, and with only two games left to go before the finals, next week's game is against Maruka at Maruka. Well, the senior men, they also played Redcliffe, and that was in the battle for the annual Councillors' Cup. And over the years, the Moreton Bay Lions seem to have had the edge over Redcliffe, winning the Cup 9 out of the last 10 times, and Saturday was no exception, I should say, as the Lions, in the presence of the Mayor, Peter Flannery, and a number of councillors, dismantled Redcliffe to win the game comfortably 14-10-94 to 6-7-43. The Cup was presented to the victorious Moreton Bay Lions at the end of the game, and best players for the Lions were Jonathan Giles, who also booted six goals, Braden Harding and Sam Lee. Like the reserve grade, the win cements a top four finish for the seniors, with two games remaining before the finals. Great results there. And in the women, well, the Division 1 women's, they were the only senior team to play away on the weekend, and they took on the might of the Broadbeach Cats down on the Gold Coast. The 4-8, 32 to 1-3-9 final score highlighted the difference between the two teams. Although the girls tried their hearts out throughout the game, they were never a match for the bigger and stronger Broadbeach Cats. Jess Davey, Kiana Riley and Lily Payne were the best players for the Lions, with Emily Murray kicking the solitary goal. And talking about solitary, in the Division 2 women's match at the Den against Redcliffe, one solitary point was kicked for the entire game. Can you believe that? It came midway through the third quarter to give the Lions the slenderest of margins. Despite a concerted attacking effort by Redcliffe for the rest of the game, they could not score anything against a Lions defence that was rock solid, thanks to an outstanding performance from 17-year-old Courtney Page, who time and time again repelled everything that Redcliffe threw at her. We've mentioned Courtney's name a number of times, wondering when she's going to make it into the Division 1 team. Courtney literally saved the game for her team. The girls sang the club song loud and proud in the rooms after the match to celebrate what was their second win of the season. Well done, girls. And that was a one-point win in a one-point game. Absolutely brilliant. You might have to go back through the Guinness Book of Records to see if that might qualify. Barry, put your skates on and have a look at that, mate. Next week, the girls, they take on Maruka at Maruka. So all in all, great weekend for the Moreton Bay Lions, as we've said. And only 2 or 3 weeks to go now, and let's hope they can all make it through to the grand finals. Of course, they're being hosted there at the Den. Well, listeners, just quickly before we go to the weather, Rugby League, Sunshine Coast. Now, we'll look at the Brisbane Rugby League A-grade Round 5. Wynnum defeated Pine Rivers 42-10 after leading 20-6 at halftime. Valley's too strong for Bulimba, 64-12. West hammered Normandy and Carina. They defeated Brighton 30-28 in the closest of the A-grade games in the Brisbane Rugby League Round 5. And in the women, well, Queensland, women's side, the Burley and South, they split the points while Tweed won against West and East. And in New South Wales, the Central Coast Roosters defeated Cronulla 22-6, with the Roosters centre, Jamin Frezard, getting the side off to scoring early in their counter, and half Mel Howard converting to take the side to their 6-0 lead. North Sydney, they defeated the Rabbits 32-0, while the Wente Magpies, they'll take on the West Magpies in the Battle of the Birds tonight at 7 p.m. The Dogs, they had the bye. Can't wait to see that Battle of the Birds, both black and white. Be wonderful to see that at 7 o'clock tonight. Let's hope the lights don't go out. Well, listeners, we'll go to a break and the weather, and after that, we'll talk all the results from the Sunshine Coast Rugby League Round 4, English Super League, and, of course, NRL Round 15. All that and more, Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports. And listeners, we continue with our Rugby League segment. And the Sunshine Coast Rugby League Round 4, will the boys under 18, Caboolture claimed outright spot on the ladder by 3 points from Kawana after they defeated Kawana 24-18 on Friday night, scoring 4 tries to 3. The other games, Biwa defeated Nambour 32-30 and Noosa defeated Caloundra 22-6. Coolum had the bye. Boys under 16, Noosa defeated Caloundra 26-8, scoring 5 tries. Gympie defeated Maroochydore 20-10. The Bay defeated Coolum 48-0 and Caboolture defeated Kawana 28-16. Gympie and Noosa, they share the lead on 20 points. In the girls under 16, well, Noosa Nambour defeated Gympie 38-18. Caboolture, they defeated the Kawana Biwa combined side 22-12 to remain on top of the ladder. And in the boys under 15, Division 1, wins to Caloundra Gold, and Gympie sees Caloundra Gold head the table by 3 points from the Caboolture team. So some good and close results there. In the English Super League, well, next weekend, round 10. Saturday, doubleheader, Wigan Warriors will take on the Catalans Dragons and Leeds Rhinos will take on Salford Devils. They're all at the Halliwell Jones Stadium. And the same thing on Sunday. It's a triple header. Hull KR take on St Helens. Huddersfield Giants will take on Hull FC. And Warrington will round out the weekend when they take on Wakefield Trinity. So all games at the one venue next weekend in the English Super League. 5 great games there, Saturday and Sunday. Well, the NRL Round 15 concluded on the weekend, listeners, and more serious injuries with Brandon Smith from the Storm out for probably 4 to 6 weeks, and it looks as if Knights of Blake Green's career could sadly be over. Of course, it all started last Thursday night, and now we have a quiz game called Deal or No Deal. Well, now maybe it's Crusher or No Crusher. You work out the rules and penalties, listeners, because I'm baffled. After the Eels were awarded some dubious calls in their 14-0 win over the Storm. Mind you, it's the first time the Storm have been held scoreless in 6 years. Nevertheless, it was a gritty win by the Eels. Well, a powerhouse display by newly re-signed back rower Liam Martin and a double to Josh Mansour in his 150th NRL game helped Penrith demolish Cronulla 38-12 to extend their winning streak to 10 matches. Are the Panthers the real deal? The Dragons made it 2 in a row when they defeated the Broncos 28-24, giving interim coach Dean Young the perfect start to his 6-week tenure as the head coach of the Dragons. And talking about deal or no deal, Anthony Seibold, $1 million to walk away or fight for the $3.2 million. Gee, it's interesting. As we said in our news highlights and sporting headlines around Australia, it'll be interesting to see what happens there with his manager and the final outcome with the Broncos. Anthony Seibold, I'd probably take the million and go. And, of course, Pengai Junior's PR parade, please leave me alone. City was aware that he was breaking the new NRL's COVID-19 rules by visiting the hairdressers, but then went on to say that it wasn't the first time he had breached the Broncos bubble, reporting 3 of those breaches were public outings with Quade Cooper, partner in crime. He claims that the phone call with Nick Politis was to seek his support, as he's always been a mentor for him. But maybe Uncle Nick, he might be the person to give him the right advice after Pengai Jr. also stated that he is concerned about missing payments with claims that, believe it or not, listeners, he's the one pushing for it to be investigated. Plot thickens. And talking about the Roosters, well, they locked up the services of arguably the game's best playmaker in Blues and Kangaroos number 6, Luke Keary, on a 3-year contract extension until at least the end of 2024. They didn't need him on Saturday. They demolished an insipid, and I use that word, insipid Tigers, 38-16, courtesy of doubles to the ageless Brett and Josh Morris. Talk that maybe the Storm speedster Josh Adokar, likely to reunite with his former club, the West Tigers, next season, wait for it, for $1 million, as he wants to play fullback. But Craig Bellamy wants young gun Tommy Talau in return, the Tigers' best player coming through. Can't see why Josh would want to go to the Tigers. And I'll have to battle the cashed-up Bulldogs for his services. Short break, listeners, and we'll come back and continue talking all things rugby league here on Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports. Well, the Raiders easily accounted for the Titans, 36-16 over the weekend. And listeners, there's no truth in the rumour that Raiders Josh Papali has been granted entry into the Stall gift after his efforts on Saturday. The Rabbits, they hammered the Seagulls, 56-16. Brought a smile to Wayne Bennett's face. Or was it his return from self-isolation? The Warriors later defeated the Dogs 20-14, courtesy of 2 tries to Warriors back rower Jack Murchie and a try assist for the former Raider as he sparked the nomadic New Zealanders after a sluggish first half. The Knights, they finished off the Cowboys 12-10 in the dying minutes, the same way they did the Sea Eagles the week before, with a superb cutout ball by Kalen Ponga to teammate Anarani Tuala. So listeners, the all-important ladder. We've got the Panthers sitting on top on 27 points, Storm second 24 with Eels 24, Roosters fourth on 20 with the Raiders, the Knights sixth on 19, the Rabbits seventh on 18, and the Sharks in eighth spot on 16 points. The next closest teams to those, to the last eight, I should say, West Tigers on 12 and the Dragons on 12, Sea Eagles and Warriors. So you have four teams on 12, all 4 points out of the top eight. I can't see that changing. So when we talk about mathematical possibility, it's a practical impossibility, I think, for any of those teams to make the top eight. Round 16, and we'll talk about this during the grapple on Thursday night. Don't forget, listeners, 6 o'clock for the grapple. Thursday night, the Eels will take on the Rabbits. Friday night, the Dragons and Titans, Roosters and Broncos. Good luck to the Broncos. Saturday, the Warriors take on the Knights, Sharks, Cowboys and Panthers and Tigers. Sunday, Storm and Eagles. And to round out round 16, the Raiders will take on the Dogs. Oh, listeners, on this day, 1851, Tom Kendall, Australian cricketer, was born in Bedford, England. Kendall played in two tests in 1877, including the inaugural test, which was played at the Melbourne Cricket Ground in March 1877. 1875, Captain Matthew Webb became the first man to swim the English Channel, relied mainly on breaststroke and swam an estimated 61 kilometres in covering the straight line distance of 32k. During the crossing, which took 21 hours and 45 minutes, he sang, drank coffee and beer, as you do, ate steaks, and was stung by jellyfish. Would have been a wonderful channel crossing. 1890, Duke Paoa Kahanu Makuki Huliake Kanamaku was born on this day in Hawaii. The Duke, or the Big Kahuna, was a swimmer, actor, lawman, early beach volleyball player, and businessman credited with spreading the sport of surfing. He won 3 gold and 2 silver Olympic medals in swimming. The name Duke was not a title or a nickname, but a given name. He was named after his father, who was christened Duke by Princess in honour of Prince Albert, Alfred, Duke of Edinburgh, who was visiting Hawaii at the time. Fantastic story. 1908, Tommy Burns KO'd Bill Squires in 13 for the heavyweight boxing title. 1921, Sam Tingles, Zimbabwean racing car driver, was born in Manchester. 1925, the 39th US Women's Tennis Open was won by American Helen Wills Moody, who beat Englishwoman Kath McCain. 1928, legendary Scottish soccer player and manager Tommy Docherty was born in Glasgow. Who could ever forget Tommy Docherty? 1929, 43rd US Women's Tennis Open, Helen Wills Moody again. This time she beat Phoebe Watson. 1939, William Mole, cricketer, Australia versus England in 1880, and a High Court judge and politician, passed away. 1957, British soccer player Jimmy Greaves scored on his debut at age 17 for Chelsea against the Tottenham Hotspurs. In a 1-1 draw, Greaves is England's third highest international goal scorer, the last player to score 40 goals in one top English top flight season in 1961. 1966, Aussie swimmer John Seaborn was born in Brisbane, coached by Laurie Lawrence, and made his debut at the age of 15 at the Brisbane 1982 Commonwealth Games. He was known to his friends as the Shrimp, as he stood just 173 centimetres and wasn't expected to do any good at the 84 Olympics, as he was competing against some of the dominant swimmers of the world. But he certainly did. 1969, former Australian World Cup alpine skier Stephen Eggbarter was born in Tyrrell. He was the winner of the overall World Cup title in 2002-2003. 1972, England opener Dennis Smith scored the first century in any one-day international with 103 off 134 balls in a 6-wicket win over the Aussies at Old Trafford. 1973, Gary Sobers scored his 26th and last Test century ton, 150 against England at Lord's, before retiring, and had later admitting that he had spent the previous night drinking port and brandy and was in poor shape when he resumed his innings. Hate to see if he wasn't in poor shape. 1989, American baseball player and manager Pete Rose was suspended from baseball for life for gambling. In 2004, after years of public denial, Rose admitted to the betting. 1991, Taiwan captured its 15th Little League World Series title. 1993, Professor Dinkar Deoda, Indian cricketer who played one class cricket between 1911 and 1948, died at, he played first class cricket. between 1911 and 1948, died at the age of 101. 1994, Kieran Perkins set new world records for the 800 and 1500 metres in the same swim at the Commonwealth Games in Canada. 1997, Greg Norman won the World Series of Golf, shooting 273. And in 2004, Moroccan superstar Haitham El Goodji broke through for a first Olympic gold medal when he won the 1500 metres at Athens. Listeners, that brings us to the end of Monday Sports Roundup on this 24th day of August. Don't forget, we've mentioned the grapple, Thursday night, 6 o'clock. Otherwise, listeners, have a great week. Look forward to your company again here on Monday Sports Roundup next Monday on 101.5 FM Sports.